Hey everybody, welcome back to the Bible Tidbits Podcast. Glad you joined us today. Today we're looking at Genesis chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 26. And this is the last section in the first part of Genesis. Now we often think of parts being equal. In Genesis, they're not. Whenever we divide Genesis up into two major subdivisions, which we cover this in our Genesis introduction, we go from 1-1 through, we just said through 11, but it's 11-26, then 11-27 through 50 is the second part. So this is the closing of that first major part. And the major dividing line on these parts is Abraham. And we'll see that today we're going to get to him. But before we get too deep into it, I want to do our brief devotional thought. And today I'm going back to the Valley of Vision because it's one of my favorites. And we've been talking a lot about the corruption of man lately with the fall, with the pre-flood time, even with the post-flood that we read about last week where Noah and one of his sons falling into that sin. So this one is called Heart Corruptions. O God, may thy spirit speak in me, that I may speak to thee. I have no merit. Let the merit of Jesus stand for me. I am undeserving, but I look to thy tender mercy. I am full of infirmities. Once sin, thou art full of grace. I confess my sin, my frequent sin, my willful sin. All my powers of body and soul are defiled. A fountain of pollution is deep within my nature. There are chambers of foul images within my being. I have gone from one odious room to another, walked in a no man's land of dangerous imaginations, pried into the secrets of my fallen nature. I am utterly ashamed that I am what I am in myself. I have no green shoots in me, nor fruit, but thorns and thistles. I am a fading leaf that the wind drives away. I live bare and barren as a winter tree, unprofitable, fit to be hewn down and burnt. Lord, dost thou have mercy on me? Thou hast struck a heavy blow at my pride, at the false god of self, and I lie in pieces before thee. But thou hast given me another master and Lord, thy Son, Jesus. And now my heart is turned towards holiness. My life speeds as an arrow from a bow towards the complete obedience to thee. Help me in all my doings to put down sin and to humble pride. Save me from the love of the world and the pride of life, from everything that is natural to fallen man, and let Christ's nature be seen in me day by day. Grant me grace to bear thy will without repining, and delight to be not only chiseled, squared, or fashioned, but separated from the old rock where I have been embedded so long, and lifted from the quarry to the upper air where I may be built in Christ forever. And I think that's just a beautiful prayer that we can pray about our corruption, but the holiness that we pursue through Christ. So today we will see two genealogies and a short story called The Tower of Babel, which most are familiar with, at least to a degree. And in these stories, we see it's kind of a transition phase to this next major section of Genesis, which will finish out the book through chapter 50. And this section, we see it beginning with the characteristic, these are the generations of. But we see it actually encapsulate two of these in chapter 10, verse 1, and then in chapter 11, verse 10, we see both of them having these are the generations of. And the one in chapter 11 is a very short genealogical section, but it completes the first macro section of Genesis. And we see that the section, it starts with the genealogy and it ends with the genealogy, and Babel is there in the middle. And I think it's interesting to see through the genealogies kind of the steps that we take. We see that Adam is obviously number one, and Noah is 10th from Adam. And then we see Abraham, he's 20th from Adam, so he's 10th from Noah. So we see that step of 10s going from person to person. And this first genealogy that we're going to see in this section, it's often referred to as the Table of Nations, because it's the descendants from Noah that eventually go out and begin all the countries and nations that make up the world at this time. So we see that it's a very important genealogy in that way. And you're going to, as you read it, or hopefully you've already read it, you're going to recognize some different names that are scattered throughout it. We see Egypt, Canaan once again. We see Babel appear in it. We see lots of other countries that will come up throughout Israel's history. We see Sodom and Gomorrah, which will come to be important later. And many countries like that with familiar names that we will see later, and even some that we still know today. So the Table of Nations is very important. And as we trace the line of promise towards the snake crusher, through all these genealogies, we can put together the genealogy that leads from Shem to Abraham. That's known as Abram at the beginning. And I wrote this down in my notes, and I'll type it up in the show description below for you to see, but I'll read it right now. It goes from Shem to Arpachshad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and then Terah is the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Abram, is the father of many nations. He is the one which Israel will come through. He is the one where God will be named as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we see that he's a very important figure throughout the history of Israel. And as we start looking at this first genealogy, there's a lot to offer. And it would be very interesting, we don't have time in this episode, but to go through and look at those different names and the different familiar ones even, and tracing those out specifically and seeing, you know, where they go. But the tower is experience, the Tower of Babel, is about to happen in the storyline, but we see it actually occurs somewhere in the middle of this genealogy. It's verse 10, yes, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. So we see at the beginning of the kingdom of Babel there, and so we can assume that it happens sometime near the beginning of this kingdom. And it's probably the Babel experience that makes all these people go and become nations because they can no longer communicate with each other. And we see that this is a repeated pattern. Take, for example, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 2 occurs somewhere in the midst of Genesis 1. Somewhere. We know more specifically where that one occurs. And Babel, which occurs in 11:1 through 9, occurs somewhere in the midst of chapter 10. So we can look for those structural things as we read throughout the Bible. And the names in this genealogy, they become nations. Some of them still are nations to this day. But the theological emphasis is that of this section, all the world came from Noah. And God orchestrated it all. So all the nations of the world are descendants of Noah as God orchestrated them to come about. And this demonstrates God's power over everything. There is nothing outside of the reach of God's power. And we need to recognize that. Literally, some of the most powerful nations of the world at this time, especially, but even in the future, all came from Noah, and God orchestrated them to become nations. One that just pops up really quick there, and it's easy for us to see in verse 6, Egypt. We see the nation of Egypt. We'll see Egypt later in Moses' story, but Egypt is still a place, still a country. You can still go there, which in our day and age, travel might be difficult, but it's still a physical nation here on earth with the pyramids that are popular tourist attractions. So we see, but that was started right here, Genesis chapter 10. So how amazing is that? It's often in history, or historians will look to the Old Testament. they recognize it as historical documents bearing historical truth. And so we see that this history starts off right here, and it's God's power is demonstrated through it. And that leads us to the Tower of Babel. You know, like I said, these verses happen somewhere amidst that genealogy. And this act that they do in Babel is in direct contrast with God's desire for them. God wants them to fill the earth. And they decide to build this giant tower so that they don't stray away from it, so that they don't spread out, so they don't disperse. So it's in direct contrast to what God wanted them to do. And Babel, it kind of resembles Eden in a way. And the end result of both is expulsion. You know, Eden was an amazing thing created by God, but man messed it up. Babel, it could have been a great city, and God could have blessed it, but they turned it sinful and resulted in them being expelled from it. You know, their desire is for themselves to make a name for themselves and not be dispersed. And it goes straight to the sin of pride, the same sin that we see come up time and time again throughout history, the same sin we see related to Satan himself. But in the end, the Lord has his way. In the beginning, they are one people with one language that lived in one place. But by the end, they are the exact opposite. There are many peoples, many nations, with many languages dispersed over the world. And that gets back to the previous chapter 10, where we said we could see how God orchestrates all of humanity. All the nations were orchestrated by the power of God, demonstrating his power. Well, Babel is just one way that he worked to make that happen. And so through the pridefulness of man at this time, we see that God still splits them up, still orchestrates his plan to have man dispersed over all the earth and to fill the earth, which often gets overlooked. And we think, okay, well, that explains the different languages and stuff that we have today. But it explains so much more than just that. It explains the power of God, but it explains him setting up the world, which sets up everything else. The nation of Israel that is going to come about is set up as a nation. Well, without Babel, there wouldn't be nations in the first place. So Babel is a crucial detail to truly create the story of the Bible that God creates. You know, he orchestrates everything. Don't think that any of this stuff just happened and God included it in his story. He's got a hand in all of it. And after Babel, we kind of move from Babel. We have the genealogy, the table of nations, and then how the table of nations truly came about at Babel. Then we have Shem's descendants, the final genealogical section in the first macro section of the book of Genesis. And this gets us the genealogy that I read at the beginning that's down in the description below. And it takes us from Shem to Abram. We go from the ark to Israel. Think about that. Shem was on the ark. Abram at the beginning is the father of many people. He's the father of Israel. So we go all the way from the ark to Israel. And it completes this first big section. And in this first big section, we see the main figures are Adam and Noah. But in the second big section, Abram is the first main figure that we're going to see. And this linear form of genealogy, it distinguishes the elect offspring. God is choosing and working to establish through whom Jesus will come. God chose Shem and all his descendants and eventually chose Abram. You know, just think about that. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. If God wanted to, he could have established his line through Nahor. He chose Abram. And it's through Abram that we see that all the nations will be blessed. We're going to see that in chapter 12. But it's just a beautiful thing to see how God is moving throughout history. You know, we often skip over genealogies or graze through them, skip these smaller stories like this. But when we read them, we can truly see how God has been working through history to make his divine will happen. You know, the more you read the Bible, the more you're going to enjoy genealogies because the more sense they're going to make to you. And whenever you start connecting those dots and just seeing their immense beauty, you can fully enjoy your reading the Bible. Yeah, I know some people struggle reading the sections, but through this, you can fully enjoy that. But not only that, you can fully trust in God because you'll have such a deep level of trust because you've seen how he's worked throughout history. You've seen it throughout his word. You've seen it throughout the genealogies, how he's worked. And you can know that if he could do that, then he can still do it now. When we remember what he's done in the past, we can trust in what we know he can do in the future. Never forget that. Never forget that. Next week, we are going to do a wrap-up episode of this first section of Genesis. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter one, so if you're behind, it'll be a perfect time to get caught up. Maybe you're up to date in Genesis, but you're behind in reading through the Bible. If you're doing that, just kind of Genesis being a little extra thing, you can have some time to catch up in that. If you're caught up in everything, then maybe it will be a time to take a small break and go somewhere else in your Bible reading. If you want to stick in Genesis, you can maybe read 11:27 through the end of the book. Or if you want to within this next week, you can reread all of Genesis or just that first part, since that's what we'll be reviewing next week. But don't take off a week of reading. Don't take off a week of study, but use this as a time to maybe go back and look at something more specific, maybe go a little deeper in a certain section. So I hope you'll tune in for next week's shorter episode as we recap all of the first part of Genesis. I thank you all for joining me, and I hope to see y'all next time.